Okay, hello everyone and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. My guest this week is Dan Lawson from BayMed in Wollongong. He is the strength and conditioning coach for the Illawarra Hawks. It's a really good conversation if you've ever wondered about what trainers of basketball players and NBL players do, and injury prevention and preparation for games, diet, muscle programs, all that sort of stuff. Dan takes you through it. A reminder to like and subscribe on Apple iTunes or Spotify, whatever you're listening on, and also follow me on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod. Thanks very much. Just describe for me who you are.
So BayMed Performance. So I'm in charge of BayMed Performance, which is an offshoot, which is sort of the strength and conditioning and sport performance arm of BayMed. So BayMed was originally started as a physiotherapy business that sort of expanded into a bit of a healthcare all around approach. Yeah, and BayMed Performance, we started a few years ago as a rehab centre, but also sport S&C facility for healthy people as well. Which is my full time.
Right.
Well, now it's looking after.
Yeah, and you've got and you work almost exclusively with the Illawarra Hawks. Is that something you work with the entire team, or just players from the Hawks approach you and say, "I want to work on XYZ"?
No, we look after their physiotherapy, medical, strength and conditioning. Yeah, which this is our, we just finished our fourth year with the Hawks. Yeah, since last coach came in, Bob Bevo came in, and we came in when he started, and yeah, we've been involved ever since. Yeah,
so you've got a guy there. Are you there on game day if there's a major accident?
Yeah. So I look after the strength and conditioning and performance side of it. We've got one of my business partners, Scott Mucklin, who's the physio, who's there all the time, just more of the injury front.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a few. Sorry, mate.
No, please.
I was going to say, yeah, we've got a few other staff that sort of help out as well. So a few other physios that come in and get some extra hands on the boys during the week, and a couple of strength coaches that give me a hand as well.
And how often? Let's say now in the off season, how often?
Yep.
What would be your contact hours with the players during this off season?
Well, at the moment, they're sort of all over the place. There's a few guys that are in rehab that are here fairly often, but yeah, we've got guys playing in New Zealand, we've got guys in Puerto Rico, we've got guys in Europe. So at the moment, they're pretty much doing their own thing. Some of them are on programs. The guys that have wanted some ongoing stuff, but pretty much the next month they're doing their own thing. So we'll get them all back to most of them back in from sort of July onwards, and depending on when they finish their playing seasons where they are, they come back in dribs and drabs and
right.
We get started again.
So let's take it back then to in season. So when you're in season, how many sort of contact hours would you be with them in any given week? Is it sort of like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday type thing?
Yeah, well, it also depends on how many games they're playing during the week. Like on the standard week, if they've got a one game week, we'll get them in through the gym three times, and those gym sessions can last anywhere from. Could be a 40-minute session that could be in for an hour for 2 hours if we get the physios in, and we'll do the whole thing. But
right.
I'd like to get him in early in the week, first thing, just to get across them. Like we've got a bit of a screening protocol that we use, and just getting across everyone, and if they've got any issues, we can get on top of it and sort of plan the week from there.
And in that contact, you say you normally spend about 2 hours with them. Is that right?
It all varies. Like early in the week, The first session, we'll get them in first. I'll get physio if they need it. They'll get screened. I'll go through a prehab circuit, and then they'll lift. So they'll be in here for anywhere up to two hours. And then later in the week, like the last session of the week, it'll just be more of a primer session before the game. So they're sort of in and out pretty quick. It could be a half an hour session in and out. But just depends on the purpose of the session.
And what's the primary stuff that happens in that primer session? Are you working with lighter weights or sort of resistance stuff or a lot of stretching? What goes on?
For that primer session,
yep.
So we sort of started during a session on the day day before the game, which is a little bit different to what some of these guys are used to. But that'll be pretty much getting them in, get their hips moving, and with some mobility type stuff, and then some more plyometric based faster movements. But they're starting a medicine ball, they might do a few jumps, some bounds or hops, something fast, and get their nervous system fired up a bit. And they'll normally do that and go straight to the court for their sort of pre-game, I guess it's minus one, we call it, which is the day before the game. Mm-hmm. Which is as central have gone pretty well this year.
Okay. My question is, did you do any workouts with Beveridge? Did he ever come in and poke around a little bit, practice his sort of trotting along the sideline, anything like that?
He'd often come in sort of once every few months and sort of start to do a bit of work, and then he'd go missing for a while. So, as a bit of work, he's a work in progress, I'd say.
Okay.
But,
seems that way. Super nice guy. As far as Illawarra have just signed Josh Boone, big, tall, strong, wide, heavy 7-footer.
Exciting!
Exciting, yeah. From a medical standpoint, what's the excitement of signing a guy like that?
Well, we haven't actually seen him yet, so we're hoping to get him up soon so we can meet him and have a bit of a look. But from all sounds of it, from talking to the coaches, that he sounds like the real deal, and he's I think he's going to bring a whole lot to the club. Mm-hmm. But from a medical and physical point of view, I'm not too sure on how we're going to go there. He's a little bit older, but he's not.
Sorry, Dan.
He's a little bit older, but definitely still playing well, and seems like he's healthy and still got plenty of years ahead of him.
From just a on paper thing, you look at him that big. What kind of stuff would you be thinking? All right, I'm definitely going to do 1, 2, 3 with him. What would be your priorities?
Well, all these guys is just trying to get good leg strength in them. So there's especially these tall guys. With a football player or something, it's a bit easier. We just squat and deadlift. Yep. These big guys have got to think outside the square a little bit and do some other stuff like sleds and things like that to try and get some leg strength in them. Yeah, like we use sleds. We do sled drags and sled pushes, which is a really good way to get some leg load into these big tall guys without putting too much pressure through their backs and their knees and stuff.
That makes sense to me, because it's an interesting balance, because as you said, like with your footy guys, you could just load up the weight, deadlifts, get the strength in the legs, whereas basketball, because it's a little bit more aerial, you've got to kind of navigate that strength and resilience, but also keep that sort of
100%.
Here's a question for you. How would you go about, like, let's say a player came to you and said, I just want to improve my jump, I just want to be able to jump and dunk. What exercises or plans or things would you put them on?
Well, jumping comes down to leg strength. But the limiting factor in being able to jump higher is leg strength. A lot of these guys, particularly from the standing start. So the first thing we look at is leg strength. So trying to improve their squat if they're able to squat or some version of the squat. I want to get them as strong as we can. Okay. And that's sort of where we come in terms of technically how they jump. It's more towards the coaches, but we're about trying to give them a bigger engine, which is ultimately their quad strength and leg strength is going to be a limit to how high they can jump, which is just basic physics.
There's no sort of like there's no weight bearing drills that you do with them that could hamper lift, you know what I mean? Like, because you see a lot of stuff on the internet about, like, to jump high, you've got to kind of not do too much leg stuff. Is that true, or is there some sort of navigation?
No, I don't think so. You don't want to be too heavy. Basically, how high you can jump is going to be a product of your leg strength and your body weight. So if you're too heavy for your how strong you are, so some of those too heavy all over. So whatever your body weight is, some of those tall guys, they need to be stronger than what they are to be able to, control their body weight pounding into the court.
Yeah, of course.
Over and over again.
It's a tough one. I mean, like, you look at football guys, obviously they've got the collision factor. You don't have that in basketball, but basketball, the fact that it is a wooden floor, and that...
100%.
What were you saying?
Yeah, Yeah, 100%. There's just thousands and thousands of impact.
You know,
jumps and landing.
What do you do to prepare players for that sort of that impact term on joints and things? Is that sort of what you do as well?
Yeah, so trying to make them as resilient as we can through building their leg strength is the limiting thing, and then teaching them how to move. So we'll do lots of stuff on trying to get them to move through their hips rather than through their knees all the time, which is a common thing with these guys. Yeah, so making them as strong as we can, and then teaching them how to land. So teaching them to use the muscles through their hips. And glutes rather than landing with their knees all the time. That's one of the main reasons why basketballers get so much knee pain, is because they're jumping and landing all the time, but also because they're doing most of it through their knees, and they don't absorb that load through their hips, which is where all their meat is, through the middle.
When you say sort of deflecting them from taking impact with their knees, what kind of drills are you doing with them to do that?
Well, it's more squat technique training, I suppose. So just teaching them, having a look at how they move, and then if they're a knee dominant mover, which most people are, we're just trying to teach them to hinge through the hips and actually teach the movement. And then once they move well, we'll load that movement with weight and speed and stuff like that.
In comparison to the other sportsmen that you work with, how would you categorize basketballs in the sense that? Their physical. What about just pure bench press physical strength? Like, where do they kind of rate?
Well, if we compare the rugby league players, which is most of my background in rugby league, they don't come close in most areas. But obviously, basketball doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
You know, their bench press, for example, doesn't need to be as strong as the rugby league players. But what I think overall, and whether it's a cultural thing from basketball is not so much being gym guys versus footy players being more, used to being in the gym. I think, it's definitely basketballers aren't as comfortable overall being in the gym and, lifting big weights. And there's a bit of a, basketball's a bit scared of lifting weights and legs being sore or their arms being sore and affecting their shot and stuff like that, which is probably a bit of a old wives' tale. It's been a bit of a challenge trying to break down some of their ideas on what they should and shouldn't be doing in the gym.
Yeah, because you look at someone like Michael Jordan. I mean, Michael Jordan used to lift medium-sized weights on game day, an hour or two before the game. So is that something you'd recommend, or where do you stand on that sort of doing too much weight, putting on too much size, or what do you think?
Well, you can put on too much size, but I think it depends on... In terms of doing weights on game day, it depends on what you're used to. I've got one of my colleagues who is with the Orlando Magic at the moment. He used to work for us last year. He went over there, Nathan Spencer. He sort of fills me in on what the NBA is doing. And some teams lift heavy weights on the day of the game, and because they get used to it, their body adapts to it. So it's a bit of what you're used to and a bit of what works for you.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone responds differently to different sort of training loads and stimulus. But ultimately it's what your body's used to. And
it's fascinating. I mean, I would have thought the hardest part of your job, you were talking about it before, is, and this is where I don't think people have a good grasp of athletes, like the ability to... Let's say a player comes to you and goes, I want to work on my running style. And they've run in a particular way for, say, 25 years or 20 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you look at it and go, no, you're not going through the hip enough, or you've got to totally change the way your body instinctively wants to move. How do you go about that? And actually, I'll ask the first question is, how well do you think basketball players take that advice or are able to, mentally change the way their body wants to move? Are they quite adept at it compared to other sports?
Well, I wouldn't say they're better than other sports, but what the way I see our role in terms of sport performance, strength and conditioning, is not so much trying to change their running technique and how they move. We're all about trying to create like a bigger engine, a more resilient athlete, so the coaches can do what they want with them on the court.
Right.
So I'm all about trying to build their engine and make them more resilient so they can train more. they can do more with the coaches and not get injured. So they get injured, they lose training time.
Right, injury prevention.
So we're all about injury prevention is just as much about a good strength program as it is anything else, you know, with any other fancy exercises. So that's our role is trying to make them as resilient as we can, so they can get longer into a season without picking up injuries and still being able to jump as high as they can on day one as they do, day 50 when end of the finals, hopefully grand final day.
What about diet sort of stuff? Like, what do you you look at them, and is there anything you're just like that maybe people aren't so? Something that you're like, nah, that's a bad idea, don't do that, or that's quite common. Is there anything that you think that's out there that's quite a common knowledge that you don't agree with?
I don't know about that, but definitely over the past 3 years, most of these guys that are in the programs have got pretty terrible diets. So we've got some...
That's across the board, all sports, or basketball in particular?
Basketball in particular, particularly with the Hawks. And I think with a lot of the guys, younger guys coming through, they haven't got a whole lot of cash, and they're sort of doing their best to.
Gotcha.
A lot of them often living away from home, so they haven't got their parents with them and stuff like that.
Yep.
So their diets are usually poor. Same thing with the American guys that come in; they're usually pretty poor as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
Junk food type stuff,
or just not mindful.
A bit of both. Yeah, junk food, just eating whatever they want. Not really. Diets. Yeah, overall. On the whole, you know, there's exceptions to the rule. Like Brian Conklin is an example of someone who's perfect with his diet.
He's got a good body.
He's a beast. Yeah.
He's strong. He's one of the strong in the NBL, and doesn't mind throwing around as well. If you've seen.
No, he's someone who bucks the trend. He was at best. Biggest and best lifter. And
how often would he be with you? Like, is he in there every day?
He'd be in there doing something. He's sort of he was on a bit of a different program, and he'd do our stuff, but he'd come in and do extra stuff on days off. Same with Dave Anderson. You know, he's a real pro, and he's always doing extra stuff. So those guys would be in here every day. Some guys would just be in here the days they had to, which is enough, but. Now, the older guys and the guys
they get
that sort of are around longer, you know, guys like Dave have been, you know, been in the NBA and been around the traps. They know how to look after their bodies and do all the right things and tick all the boxes.
We were talking about diet. So is there anything you like, is there one thing you're like, this is a pretty good, or a couple of things where like, if you kind of introduce these into your diet, you're looking good for like gaining strength and lowering bad physique or fat? One thing you'd love to see your players no longer look at or touch or eat.
we try to keep it pretty simple. You know, we make sure these guys eat good protein and carbs within half an hour after they train. So we've got interns and stuff that mix up proteins and make sure we get these guys, you know, good food. You know, at least when they're with us, and we give them guidance on what they shouldn't be doing in their. When they're at home, so like we've got a dietitian that we work with, and you know, she'll go to the guys' houses and, you know, do some cooking and stuff with the wives or with the families or, you know, with the mums, and, you know, try to help these guys in that way. So then when they're, you know, when they're away from us and, you know, somewhere else, you know, hopefully they can hang on to those skills and, you know.
Hang on to eat, right?
Yeah.
Are you a big believer in the supplement stuff, like your pre-workouts and your post-workouts?
Yeah, it isn't the be all and end all in terms of diet. Now, the most important thing is that you have a good all round healthy diet, so plenty of fruit and veg and ticking all the basics. But yeah, definitely pre workout caffeine. There's good evidence for using caffeine, and definitely protein after we train. We're gonna help maximize the gains and what we've done in the gym with good post training.
Have you got a brand of your own, or one you recommend, a post workout protein?
We use BSC stuff, but there's plenty of good stuff out there. You just got to make sure it's approved and doesn't get any
anything
dodgy nice. Stuff in it.
Sure.
It's just something we've got to be wary about.
You'd have to be pretty mindful of it, yeah.
Yeah, we've got to be careful because there is some stuff out there that Dyson can get their hands on and can get in a bit of trouble.
Yeah. No, it's happened. It's happened in the NBL, but certainly all around the place. So here's my next question. So I used to play quite a lot and, you know, to a decent level. And then I, about 10 years ago, moved to the UK and sort of got pretty fond of the drink. And still moved a little bit and everything, but it became sports and moving around became a second thought.
Yeah.
So I'm probably, I'm 6'1", 2", I'd weigh about 90. I was typically always around the high 70s. So I'm, carrying a lot of weight in the midsection almost exclusively. And then I just feel like over time, I do feel like my upper body and that has decreased my strength in that. What would my first question is, what would be the exercises that are basketball related, maybe perhaps, that could that's the best for burning that fat around the gut?
Well, the best thing for burning fat or reducing your fat is watching what you're putting in your mouth. And ninety percent of diet is weight loss, but definitely strength training is going to help with reducing your fat, because we're going to help boost muscle. Your muscle helps burn fat. But we do a pretty basic approach. We'll do some sort of squat, some sort of deadlift. That doesn't mean you go straight into a back squat and a full on deadlift. It's about finding what's right and appropriate for you. Upper body push and pull, so a bench press and some kind of horizontal pulling exercise, like a rowing exercise. And we'll do our upper body vertical pull and push, so some sort of chin up and some sort of shoulder press. And lower body stuff, we'll always do some kind of split or single leg quad exercise, so like a lunge or a step up or a single leg squat.
Right.
And some kind of single leg or split deadlift or posterior chain movement, which is like a single leg deadlift or a single leg bridge or something, to trying to work on your glutes and hamstrings, muscles in the back of your legs.
Sure. And my then question is, what about stretching and stuff like that? Like, you obviously won't help you lose weight or anything, but are you big on that? Have you got stretches that you like? Like, with your guys, do you like them to do those static stretches before games, or do you like more motional resistance band work or something like that?
So stretching, yeah, we do a little bit of it. Depending on if guys are stiff or if guys are floppy, a lot of the guys that we have and a lot of basketballers tend to be more on the floppy, hop and mobile side, which so they don't need as much stretching, but more need more strength and stability work. The stretching we'll do is they'll do some kind of dynamic stretching, so active stretching as part of their warm up before gym and before the court.
Yep.
They'll always do a bit of a static stretch as a recovery. Guys that need to do extra stretching, we'll give them stuff as a supplementary thing to do sort of outside that time if they really need to try and improve the hip range of motion.
All those classic stretches like the trap stretch and the reaching out for the leg on the floor, like you do them as a recovery, not so much a warm up.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we know that static stretching isn't really indicated as part of a warm up. We want to do dynamic stretches to stuff
heat up the muscle.
Heats the muscle up, activates muscle, and uses it while lengthened. So there's a fair bit of evidence that just suggests that static stretching, shouldn't really be done as part of a warm up. But if you're going to do it, do it as part of recovery, or do it as a standalone flexibility session.
Oh, okay, standalone. All right, so going back to we've worked on my fat stuff. And how often should I be? If I'm 10 kilos over and I want to see, I want to return, I want to realistically want to get back to good or decent shape in a year, or let's say 6 months, how often should I be in the gym? Or just like the average person, how long should they be in the gym in a week?
I reckon 3 times a week is probably a good amount. You want to be trying to do some kind of exercise every day, whether it's on the other days you're not in the gym, going for a walk or going for a run, doing something else active. Mm-hmm. But 3 times a week is probably enough. 2 times you might get away with it. If you just go once, by the time you get back again, you back to where you started, and you won't carry you won't carry on any of those games.
Yeah.
But yeah, three times a week, you know, with a bit of in the in within that gym session. I reckon your gym session shouldn't be longer than an hour. So okay. part of that.
But pretty hard.
Pretty hard. You want to have a good warm up, resistance training. You know, so you know, upper and lower body strength and stuff that you know, sort of big compound movement stuff that we spoke about before, and then some kind of cardio type exercise at the end, so whether it's just a 10 minute high intensity interval type stuff, where you get the heart rate right up, to finish off. That's sort of how I'd structure it.
And what about rest stuff? Are you a big believer in gym for an hour on a Monday, let's say, rest all day Tuesday, tell me about rest. What you like to do?
Well, yeah, rest. Yeah, there's rest in it. And there's recovery. Like recovery doesn't mean full rest doing nothing. The best sort of recovery is an active recovery. So, you know, if you went to the gym on Monday, Tuesday isn't just a sit down and rest full rest day. You want to do something active. So whether that's even going for a walk, going for a run, going for a bike ride, swim for sure. Something to help try and flush out some of the waste, some of the soreness that you've got for Monday, so you're in a bit, you're in a better place to start your training on Wednesday.
All right, neat. Dan, let's talk about on my way out, we'll wrap it up pretty quick. So you like Brian Conklin, he's one of your favourites to train, and DA?
For sure.
They're your favourites, all right, I'll see them.
Yeah, from last year, it was a pretty good group, to be honest. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. Those guys last year, it was a bit of a mixed bunch, guys from all around the place, a few young guys, a few old guys, but we had a really good time with them in the gym. They all sort of ripped in, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Did something at the start give you a bit of a niggle, like, oh, Jesus, could be...
I just wasn't sure, because it was such a mixed bunch, like Cedric Jackson coming in, I wasn't sure how he was going to go. He was really good, Jordan Jett, we had some young guys that had that were sort of new, Dan Greeter.
Yeah, they're gangly kids. And bless Dan Greeter. Like, he's a lovely kid and a nice player, but he looks like a noodle.
Yeah.
He'll get really good and really strong soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's got a whole lot of potential, especially with he's awesome. He's got a great attitude. And him and Emmett, they've got a big future. They've got plenty of potential in the gym to get strong, and that's going to show on the court, hopefully.
And new coach, Matt Flynn?
Flynn, yeah, Flynny. Yeah,
him, you know him.
Yeah, no, I'm really...
Does he come in much?
He's a great... Yeah, well, not in our gym, he doesn't come in here at all. He's not a gym dude at all, but he's a really good guy, and he's got a whole lot of passion, and he's been involved with the Hawks for years and years. He was a player here, and he's lived and breathed the place for the last 20 years, I suppose. And he's really excited. He's been really good to work with so far. So
try and get him in there just to keep the mind and the
yeah, we try. Sharp. Yeah, we
wouldn't hurt.
Yeah,
in fact, it would absolutely really really help, I'm sure.
Oh, 100%, yeah. We'll small steps with our Flinny anyway. But
I know he loves his surfing.
We'll keep chipping away. Yeah, he does. Yeah,
so
he's definitely more at home in the outdoors or on the basketball court. He's not much of a gym rat, that's for sure.
All right, well, thanks, Dan. That was a lot of fun. What I will say, is there anything you want to sort of... I have quite a few... I have some listeners in Wollongong. Is there anything you'd like to say about people approaching your business and coming in?
So we're sort of based in the Collegians Complex at Fig Tree. We've got a good gym, state of the art gym, and so for injuries and someone wants to get fitter, faster, stronger, give us a call or hit us up.
Dan, I'll include all that sort of stuff in the description. Thanks, Dan. It was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. I think a lot of people are gonna take a lot from it.
Yeah, no, I hope so. Good to talk to you, mate. It was cool.
Yeah, likewise, Dan. Good luck with everything, and I'll maybe speak to you during the season.
Sounds good, mate.
See you, my friend.
Cheers.
Bye.
And that was Dan Lawson of BayMed in Wollongong, the strength and conditioning coach of the Illawarra Hawks. Thanks very much for listening. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, by all means, jump on and give the show a rating, a 5-star rating or 1 to 5, whatever you wish, and a review. Much appreciated. See you next week.